Good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. Today is Thursday, December 1st, 2022. All right, so we're going to start off today. We're going to lead off with the Cleveland Browns. We're going to talk to you about the NFL slate this weekend. We're also going to get into college football, the championship weekend of college football. We're going to talk about our three local teams and the state championship games in all seven divisions in the OHSAA playoffs this weekend down the road in Canton. And then finally, we'll touch base with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are playing some really great basketball right now. So again, let's start off with the Browns. 4-7, traveling to Houston, 1-9-1, struggling this year, obviously. But we know what the big storyline is. It's the return of Deshaun Watson. But before we get into that, let's just check in with the Browns' schedule. They have six games to go at Houston, at Cincinnati, two home games versus Baltimore and New Orleans, and then finally to close out the season at Washington and at the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's a look at the final six games for the Browns. They are all winnable. They are all, you know, very much right there to be had. However, they're not going to be without their challenges. This is the NFL, and, you know, the phrase any given Sunday is very much true each and every week. So let's get into Deshaun Watson. You know, off the field, we know the controversy. It's going to be, you know, first and foremost on the minds of a lot of people in Houston. You know, Tony Busby, the attorney, has said he's even bringing 10 of the accusers to the game. And to me, that's just bonkers. I don't get that. It's kind of reckless behavior from an attorney, but let's just stick to football in this. But this will be Deshaun Watson's first NFL game in 700 days, exactly. So in his career, he has played 54 games in the NFL, 68% completion percentage, over 14,500 yards, 104 touchdowns to 36 interceptions. He's ran the ball 307 times for 1,677 yards, which is amazing. 5.5 yards per rush, 17 touchdowns on the ground, and 14 fumbles. Now, he has been prone to take some sacks, but again, in Houston, he had a really bad offensive line and not a ton of weapons and pieces around him. So with the Browns, he's got a really good running game. He's got a great offensive line, or a really good offensive line in front of him, and a couple nice pieces in, you know, Amari Cooper, David Njoku, Donovan Peoples-Jones. Hopefully David Bell's going to start stepping up, and other players on the outside for him. So with that said, let's take a look at the Cleveland Browns offense and defensive numbers. Let's start with the offense. Now, this is with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. Again, hats off to him for what he has done for the Browns during this 11-game stead. He knew what he was getting into, and, you know, not going to say he was the perfect quarterback, but he was the perfect person to be placed in that spot to kind of hold the fort down until Deshaun Watson got back. So, you know, this, again, whatever you think about the off the field stuff, this is going to be exciting times for the Browns, because the Browns simply have not had a great quarterback in, you know, since they've come back, and really, you know, even if you include Bernie Kosar and Brian Sipe, you know, they have not had a dual threat quarterback like this ever. So this is going to be some just exciting times for the Browns. So let's start off. 377 yards on offense, which is sixth best, still top five in rushing, right in the middle of the pack in passing yards at 223 per game. And just a shade under 24 points per game, which is 11th best. Let's look, take a look at their defense. Has been improving, but still the numbers are concerning, especially points per game given up, 26 points per game given up, which is 30th in the NFL. So second or third worst in the NFL. And the other stats are improving, but we'll see how an improved offense, perhaps we hope, will affect the defense, who did play a really, really good second half in overtime last week against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. On the other end of the side, the team they're going to be playing, the Houston Texans, in week 13, Houston is just not a very good team. 279 yards per game on offense, which is worst in the NFL. They are also second worst in passing and second worst in scoring, throwing for about 190 yards a game, less than 16 points per game scored on offense, and rushing. They're only rushing it for 89 yards per game, which is 29th in the NFL. Look at the defensive side of the ball, not much better over there. Now, they don't give up a ton of passing yards, 216 per game, which is seventh best in the NFL. However, rushing, Nick Chubb should feast on this defense. They give up about 170 yards per game, which is last, and they give up about 23.6 points per game. So the Browns should be able to hopefully score a lot of points and get the Texans defense on their heels. For their team leaders, Damian Pierce, good running back, 788 yards rushing, three touchdowns. Davis Mills will not play in this game. Their backup is going to play. Allen, former Texas A&M quarterback, former teammate of Myles Garrett at Texas A&M. Receiving, Brandon Cooks, nice receiver, 520 yards. But again, he's their main threat, so the Browns hopefully can lock him down and make somebody else beat them in the passing game. Jerry Hughes, nice defensive veteran, lineman, eight sacks on the year, and Jalen Petre or Petrie has two interceptions on the season for the Texans. Better or not, this week, the line, the Browns are 7-point favorites. 46.5 is the over under. You got to lay $335 on the Browns to win 100. And then the Texans money line, you got to, if you put down 100 and they win straight up, 260 to win straight up. Deshaun Watson's passing looks like it's about 274.5 yards per game, or for this game, which is a lot of passing yards. I'm actually going to take the under in that because I think Nick Chubb has a big game, and Deshaun Watson will be able to complete those simple throws, but I'm going to say he's around the 250 yard mark. And again, first game in 700 days. Kyle Allen is the quarterback that will be playing in this game. His over under is 214.5. I'm also going to take the under on that, even though I think they're going to have to pass because they're going to be behind. And then you got a battle of two Michigan Wolverine former wide receivers. You got DPJ and Collins, and which one's going to have more receiving yards? I'm going to give that one to DPJ just because I think him and Cooper are going to have a nice connection with Watson coming out of the gate. All right, real quick picks for this week. Tonight, you got Buffalo at New England. I'm going to go with the Bills in this one. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers over the Chicago Bears. If you remember that quote where he said, "I own this franchise," he has really owned the Bears in his career. I'm going to take the Falcons, even though they're going to be without Kyle Pitts for the rest of the season, over the Steelers. I like them just being at home in that game. I'm going to take the Vikings over the Jets. I'm going to take the Jaguars over the Lions, the Eagles over the Titans. I will take the Browns over the Texans and the Giants over the Commanders. I will take the Baltimore Ravens big over the Denver Broncos. And then I'm going to go with four straight road teams here. I'm going to go with the Dolphins over the 49ers, the Seahawks over the Rams, the Chargers over the Raiders, and the Chiefs over the Bengals in the former AFC Championship game rematch there. On Sunday night, I like the Cowboys over the Colts. And on Monday night, I like the Buccaneers over the Saints. The teams on bye this week are the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals. If you check in with the AFC standings, here are where the teams lie. Miami, Baltimore, Tennessee, and Kansas City lead their divisions. The Bills, Bengals, and Jets right now would be your three wild card teams, but you got a ton of teams in the mix. Going all basically the Patriots and the Chargers are in the best spot, and then you got a whole big group of teams, you know, from really the Colts to the Steelers, with four wins and you know, in the mix. And then I'm saying goodbye to the Broncos and Texans in that mix. All right, let's switch to college football. This is a big one this week. We got conference championship weekend. We're going to talk about the playoffs here in just a minute, but the SEC championship game will feature Georgia versus LSU. In the Big Ten title game, we'll have Michigan versus Purdue. In the Pac-12 game, this is a big one, USC versus Utah. In the Big 12, this is a big one too. Number 3 TCU versus number 13 Kansas State. Big games, especially if you're an Ohio State fan. If you're a Buckeye fan, you're going to be rooting very much for the Utah Utes Friday and for the Kansas State Wildcats on Saturday. In the ACC title game, you got Clemson versus North Carolina. In the AAC, you have Central Florida versus Tulane. In Conference USA, North Texas and Texas San Antonio. In the MAC, you got Ohio versus Toledo. In the Sun Belt, you got Carolina versus Troy. And in the Mountain West, you got Fresno State versus Boise State. So some really good games this weekend, even though the regular season has ended. And we'll see. Obviously, again, the two big ones to watch are the Pac-12 and the Big 12 title games, because USC and TCU win, they are in. If either of those teams stub their toe or loses or, you know, gets blown out, then that should open the door for the Buckeyes to get in the college football championship, the college football playoff. And by the way, they just announced, not next season, but in the 2024 season, that the playoffs will be, in fact, expanded to 12 teams. So here's a look at the top six teams and their resumes. You know, so Michigan and Georgia are pretty much locks. TCU and USC pretty much locked in there. If they win, they're in. Now, the first two out, they're rooting for Kansas State and Utah, are the Buckeyes and Alabama. And I guarantee there's some fans out there that want some new blood in there. TCU and USC might be refreshing, but Georgia and Michigan both made the playoff last year. Ohio State and Alabama have been obviously big time players in the college football playoff, but you know, we'll see what happens. And again, you know, Kansas State and Utah are huge X factors this weekend. And again, here's the resume. I'm not even going to talk about Georgia and Michigan because I think they're pretty much locks no matter what. So if you look at TCU, their two best wins on the season, Kansas State and Texas. Now I'm just including ranked wins from these teams, from the current resume. You look at USC, they have three ranked wins. However, they are 16, 17, and 19 best teams in the country. If you look at Ohio State, they have two solid wins, number 8 Penn State and number 19 Notre Dame, and their loss obviously to number 2 Michigan. You look at Alabama, they have a loss to number 7 Tennessee and number 11 LSU. Their best wins on the season are number 21 Texas and number 25 Mississippi State. So Ohio State's two wins should be good enough to get them in. However, it's all dependent on TCU and USC this weekend. Just a real quick note that I left out from Tuesday's show. Just wanted to give, you know, credit to the two top receivers for the Buckeyes this year. Obviously, without Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who is the leading receiver entering in college football entering this season, who missed basically the entire season, you know, except for a handful of snaps. These two guys come in and get the job done. They are only become the nine, two of the nine receivers in Ohio State history to even get to 1,000 yards in a season. Now, obviously, the Buckeyes' scheme has changed and they're throwing the ball a lot more, but look at this list. Jackson Smith and Jigba, David Boston, Terry Glenn, Marvin Harrison Jr. is now fourth, Chris Carter, that goes back to all the way to 1986. Michael Jenkins, the national championship year. Paris Campbell, Garrett Wilson, and Emeka Ibuka. A lot of first-rounders on there, and a lot more to come, we think. And then, obviously, the guy that was throwing them the ball, first-team Big Ten player, will most likely be invited to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. However, I do not think CJ Stroud will win it, but I think he's going to be probably top three, top four for the Heisman Trophy and should be in New York City. All right, let's check in with our local teams from the Mahoning Valley that will play for a title in Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, which is, again, right down the road in Canton. Let's start with the other games that don't feature Mahoning Valley teams. Now, Akron, Archbishop Hoban, is from the 330. I like them to win, although Toledo Central Catholic, really good opponent, 14-1, both teams. That game will be Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Division One, the big schools, St. Ed's will take on Springfield. Now, Springfield, not our local Springfield. This is Springfield outside the Dayton area. Two very, very good teams. Obviously, to get to this point in the season, you're going to be great. So I like St. Ed's to take down Springfield in this game. Division 6, Saturday at 10:30. Kirtland, I believe, is up in the Cleveland area, 15-0. Versus Marion Local, another very good team. I was told on Twitter to watch out for Marion Local's defense. However, I do have Kirtland winning this game, although Marion Local should be a formidable foe and, you know, could even very well win. Division 4, Saturday, 7:30, Glenville out of Cleveland, 14-0 versus Wyoming. I believe that's in the Cincinnati area. I have to double check, but 15-0. I like Cleveland Glenville to win this game big. They are loaded with talent. Ted Ginn Sr., and I believe Ted Ginn Jr. is even also a coach on that team. So should be a nice matchup there. But I have to admit, I don't know a ton about Wyoming. But I know Cleveland Glenville is a very loaded team, so I like them to win. All right, let's get to our local teams here. Division 5. This game will kick at 10:30 a.m. on Friday. South Range, 15-0 versus Ironton, 15-0. Give me the Raiders in this game. I think they win comfortably. But Ironton, again, you don't get to this point if you're not a very good football team. So South Range, good luck to the Raiders, 15-0. I like them to win Friday, the D5 state championship. Division 3, Canfield, Friday at 3 o'clock. Will play Bloom Carroll, who is 14-1. Canfield at 13-1 entering this game. Give me the Cardinals to win the Division III state championship. Coach Pavlansky and his crew, best of luck to the Canfield Cardinals as they take on Bloom Carroll. Division 7, Saturday, 3 p.m., Warren JFK, 13-1 versus New Bremen, which is 12-3. I believe this is a matchup of two teams that played for the state championship a few years ago. New Bremen comes from that same division, I believe, as Marion Local. And, you know, they play some really good football over there. But, you know, maybe I'm going with my local ties and showing local bias here, but give me Warren JFK to beat New Bremen to win the D7 title. And again, that game kicks 3 o'clock Saturday at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. Regardless of the outcomes, hats off to the South Range Raiders, Canfield Cardinals, Warren JFK Eagles for even getting to this point. And hopefully they can get the cherry on top and get the state championship on Friday and Saturday, respectively, for those three squads. So again, good luck from the 330 Sports Show and Youngstown Studio to our local teams this weekend. And then finally, let's get to just a real quick check-in with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They just absolutely blew out the Philadelphia 76ers. We're up by 35 points at one point early in the third quarter. They are currently the seventh best offensive team in the NBA, the second best defensive team in the NBA, and they are the third best overall points per game differential in the NBA. They are shooting the ball at about 48%, which is eighth best in the NBA. They're shooting it at about 39% from the three-point line, which is third best. Shooting at about 81%, which is seventh best from the free throw line in the NBA. They are 9-1 at home, 5-7 on the road, 12-4 against the Eastern Conference, and 4-0 in overtime games this season. They just finished out their November slate with a 28-point victory in a game that wasn't even that close to move their record to 14-8 overall on the season. They finished November 9-7. They did have a little rough patch there in the middle, early to middle of the month there with a West Coast five-game losing streak, but bounced back and finished the November schedule 9-7 as they enter December. So here's a look at this week ahead: Friday, December 2nd versus Orlando, Sunday, December 4th at New York Knicks. That should be a great one in Madison Square Garden as Donovan Mitchell, really wanted to play for the Knicks, but has found a home in Cleveland and is thriving. So that should be good. And then our old buddy LeBron James comes back to Cleveland in his only game against the Cavaliers in Cleveland this year, Tuesday, December 6th at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. So that should be a good one. And hopefully the Cavs can continue this little run they're on and build upon this, this win streak. Let's check in with just a couple of the players, and then we're going to close out our show. So Donovan Mitchell this year, 28.4 points a game, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.5 steals, is just been a fantastic, fantastic acquisition for the Cavaliers. Darius Garland, nearly 23 points a game, 2 rebounds, 8 assists, 1.2 steals. And again, just doing a great job. Obviously battled that eye injury, getting poked in the eye early in the season, but has come back and been a fantastic point guard for the Cavs. The Tower City duo of Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. Jared Allen's missed the last couple games with a little bit of a bone bruise in his hip and his back, but he is a force on the defensive end. So Jared Allen this year, 13.2 points, nearly 11 rebounds, a little over assist and a block per game, shooting, in that true shooting percentage, 63% roughly this season. Evan Mobley, just building on what he did last year, having a great sophomore season, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1.3 blocks, 1 steal, and shooting nearly 60% from a true shooting perspective. Then let's take a look at some of the other guys on the roster. Caris LeVert has come back down to earth, but overall numbers pretty solid: 12 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists. Jetty Osman playing some nice minutes off the bench. Isaac Okoro has shown some nice signs of life lately, a better defender, but has improved his scoring, which was really, really a major issue early in the season. Kevin Love has really improved again, but he has missed a few games of late due to a broken finger. But again, he is doing great things and being a good, productive leader off the bench as well for the Cavs. Robin Lopez, Dean Wade, Lamar Stevens, Raul Neto, Diakite, excuse me, I have him on there twice. And then Isaiah Mobley, who's even seen the court. But the Cavs have a pretty deep team. However, I think they need to make a move for a wing, a three that would be very valuable for them going forward in the season. And then a few did you knows to throw at you to close out the show here. But the Cavs are 9-1 at home for the first time since the 2016-17 season. And the Cavs 44 points last night in the second quarter versus the 76ers, 16 of 17 field goals, which is 94.1%, which is the highest since it has been tracked starting in the 1997-1998 season. The Mavericks had a quarter like that a few years back, but you know, no other team that I know of, based on the research I did, had as high of a shooting percentage as that since it has been tracked. So just hats off to the Cavs on a great, great win against Philadelphia 76ers. And that's it for now. So we'll check in next week, see how we're doing. Again, make sure if you're a Buckeye fan, you're rooting for the Utah Utes and the Kansas State Wildcats. That is it for the 330 Sports Show. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and we will see you next Tuesday.